So we have just had a holiday of Thanksgiving. And as I was preparing the message for this week, by the way, you can turn your phones off. If you haven't already, I'll just give you one warning. Hopefully you guys saw my penance out there in the donuts. If you weren't here last week, my phone went off during the service. And that's a no-no. That's donuts for everybody. So there's donuts out there. There's like 150 donut holes that I think are all gone because we have 10 youth here today. And let's turn those phones on vibrate. Yeah. All right. So as I was preparing the message today, just felt, you know what? I think God has a word for us in regards to Thanksgiving. So we're going to take a pause from our book of Acts and just spend a little time looking at thanks. And it has a lot of significance for God's people. Thanksgiving is not meant to be something that's one day a year, that we are actually meant to be a people of thanksgiving. It's part of the ethos or the flavor of being a new creation, of being part of the kingdom of God, part of this new work that Jesus inaugurated on earth. That as a child of God, every single day is meant to be a day of thanksgiving. So I want to take us a little look here into some scriptures and unpack that a little bit because there's some power in that as well. So I want to start with Colossians 3:17. This is a pretty crazy verse. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, whatever you do, word or deed means an action. So whether you're doing something, you're saying something, do it while you're giving thanks to God. That is kind of the spirit of God's people, God's kingdom people, that we would give thanks in whatever we do. When we live in the reality of who God's made us to be, we will be a people of thanks. As a redeemed people, think about this reality. To live in the reality of who we are a redeemed people that doesn't get what we deserve. On our own, when we've done it our own way, on our own strength, we've said, "No thanks, God. God, I want to do it my own way. I don't need you." So we've kind of asked for separation from God. And that's what we deserve. But instead, through what Jesus has done, God's lavished his love upon us, called us beloved children, and gives us nothing but goodness. Nothing but goodness comes our way in life as a follower of Jesus. Nothing but goodness from God. I love that scripture passage in James chapter 1. What does it say? I forgot it. It's a good one, though. Here we go. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is coming from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no changing." In other words, I think about this all the time. Every good thing we have is a gift from him. Think about that. Every good thing we have is a gift from him, and everything he gives us is good. That God is fundamentally good towards his children. Fundamentally and only good, it says. Every good thing we have, every good gift is from him, and he has no changing. It says he has no shadow. In other words, there's not even a little hint of darkness. There's not even a little hint of shadow, a hint of evil towards you from God. Not even a hint. It's only goodness that's coming your way as a redeemed child of God. Every day and all day. From the heart of God. That's incredible. That's an incredible reality. And so it's all over Scripture is to respond to that goodness as it says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. It's kind of an interesting study. If you look up the word thanks or thanksgiving in the scripture, you'll see over 100 passages, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. They talk about this people of God in response to this goodness of who God is. They're a people of thanksgiving. And this stands in major contrast to the world around us and what we can do on our own strength. Because think about it. There's many things in our life that pull against us to not give thanks. There's the pain of this world, the frustration of this world, the hurts that come upon us, our own doubts about God, our own doubts about God's goodness, our own failures, our own struggles, the lies and temptations of the enemy that whispers in our ear and says, oh, God's not good. God can't be trusted. God doesn't care. God won't come through. And all of these things push us and our world to not give thanks, but to rather be cynical and to complain. How many of you have ever been around complaining? Come on. How many of you have ever been complaining yourself? Why is that funny? It's not good. How many of you ever felt cynical? All right? It's common. It's around. I mean, just watch the news. Cynical sells. It's interesting, right? But we live in a world that's often fueled with cynicism and complaining. And God says, I have such a better path for you. That's bitter fruit. God says, for my people, I want something different to be flowing out of your heart. And so to buy into this fruit of cynicism and buy into the path of complaining is dangerous for us. It's going to threaten us. It's going to threaten our ability to live in the fruit of the Spirit that God wants for us. I once heard a wise Christian man that I respect very much say something that just kind of caught me off guard so strongly. He said that I am always and only 5 minutes away from depression. I'm always and only 5 minutes away from depression. Now, this is a very well-respected Christian leader, full of joy, awesome guy. But what he was referring to is the reality that what we set our minds on and where we allow our thoughts to travel affects the course of our life. If we allow cynicism and complaining and grumbling to be the food for our minds, we will be depressed. Think about that. If we choose to allow complaining, grumbling, cynicism to be what comes out of our mouth, it's therefore the food of our mind, we're going to live depressed. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. And what I want to show us today in Scripture is that God's people have a different way. God invites us as his people with good reason to live in a different way and not have to struggle through the fruit of cynicism and grumbling and complaining and all the junk of anxiety and fear and depression and all that junk that comes with it. So I want to take us through a quick little journey to show us that God just has something way better. He wants us, in fact, to be able to give thanks all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a radical verse. This is one. Mark this in your Bible. Just spend some time thinking on this. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. That is crazy. Give thanks in when? All circumstances. For this is the will of God. God's will for you, what God wants for you. This is crazy. There's a lot of other things in that passage that are God's will for you, and that's a worthy passage to read. One of the things that is God's will for you, that he wants for you, is to be able to have the power inside you to authentically give thanks in everything. Think about that. Think about this is God's heart for you. What does God want for your life? What kind of power does he want you to have? Because look around, look at your own self, look at the world around us. Do most people have the power to give thanks in any circumstance, or is it complaining, grumbling, cynicism? God wants you as a beloved child to have the power to give thanks at all times. Now, one thing that's very important about this passage, it does not say give thanks for everything. That is huge. It says give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for every circumstance. That's vastly different. Giving thanks for everything would mean it's saying everything in life is directly from God, even all the pain and the suffering and possibly even the abuse and the straight-up evil. I'm just going to thanks God for that. Oh, thanks God for that. You know, you just get knocked around by all sorts of evil and you're just thanking God for it. That's wacky. It's not what it says, first of all. If it is what it said, we'd have to deal with it. But it's not. It's not giving God credit for evil and abuse and pain in your life. It's saying in the midst of that, what God's will for you is, his power, his perspective, the reality of who he is and who you are so infiltrates you that you are able to give thanks in any circumstance. See the difference? It's big. Now let's walk through that a little bit. I want to take us actually to some Psalms. These are the prayer books of God's people in the Old Testament. And I want to walk us through here. How do the people of God give thanks in all circumstances? What gives them the power to give thanks in whatever is going on? So that's our question. What gives God's people the power to give thanks in any circumstance? Because that's an interesting question, right? How many of you want to be able to give thanks in any circumstance? Does that sound like good news? Half of you? Cool. All right, the rest of the half of you are... You're happy complaining about life and how it sucks. Okay. I'll hope to convince you otherwise by the time we're done. So I want to have our youth come up, to a couple of our youth. We're going to read two scripture verses that help us see how the people of God learned and what gives them the power to give thanks in everything. So we got Casey and Caitlin. Come on up, guys. Why don't you give them a little hand here? All right, thank you guys. So I want you guys to listen as they read, and I want you to listen for is what are the people of God doing in these verses to help themselves have the power to give thanks, okay? Got it? You ready? Okay. So one more time, I want you guys give them a round of applause here. It's a little nerve-wracking maybe to talk in front of you. You guys look very scary. I mean, not really, but I mean just for...
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to the city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty for souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord for their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them from a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities served affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them from their distress. He set them out his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for the steadfast love, for the wondrous words in the children of men.
All right, awesome. Mr. Casey.
Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever.
All right, thank you guys very much. Awesome work, high five, here we go. All right, so what did you guys hear? His love endures forever. Okay, what else? What'd you hear? What gave them the power to give thanks? Okay, he gives food to every creature. Cool. Good. What else? He leads them. Good. What else? This is a test, huh? You thought I was joking when I said listen. What else? Oh, boom. There it is. All right, that's a summary. Perfect. The things he's done in the past, they recount the various ways that God has helped them. saved them, protected them, delivered them, provided for them, been with them, healed them. And as a result of that, they give him thanks. The power to give God thanks comes through remembering the reality of what he has already done. They have a story to tell. This is called testimony. That's why we come up and give a lot of testimony and tell story of what God has done, how God has been present and powerful and real and healing and providing, and in every other which way that God loves to do, God has been there, so that our minds can stay fixed on the reality of who God is, what he's done, who he is for us, and therefore, we can give thanks. The thanks will flow. So that's what the whole Bible is. In one summary, one way of understanding the Bible is it is a big testimony book, a big book of stories about what God has done for his people. And the Psalms, the people of Israel, especially in the Psalms, loved to recount all of the awesome stuff God has done. And those were just a few verses. But read the Psalms and watch how they love to repeat. This is what God did that time. This is what God did. Oh, do you remember when God did this in our life? Do you remember when God opened the Red Sea? Do you remember when God freed us from slavery? Do you remember when God provided in the wilderness? Do you remember when God gave us victory over enemies? Do you over and over. And what do they conclude with? So give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Why are they doing that? Because they are in a present circumstance that's hard. And so they have the option to choose despair, discouragement, cynicism, complaining, but they say, no, I will not go there. And what gives them the power to give thanks in any circumstance? They recall what God has done. They remember the goodness of God. And they remember that God has been so good. They remember that every good thing they have is from God. They can look back at their life, and their life tells a story. And they give such a beautiful example that the Bible and all of the stories and testimonies of God's goodness is not supposed to be where it ends. Because, hello, God's still alive. God wasn't finished working when the Bible was finished written. We are to be the living testimonies. Our life is meant to be the living story, like the Bible now. And some of you guys are living that. Some of you guys are experiencing that where you, wow, the stuff that's going on, if I wrote that down, that actually looks a little bit like the Bible. My life and the way God helped me, redeemed me, healed me, saved me, provided for me, that actually looks like the book of Acts. That looks like the life of Jesus. That's the way our lives are meant to be. Our lives, because of God's goodness in it, as his children, are meant to be living testimonies. So I would encourage you guys, as God works in your life, find a way to write it down. Find a way, like the psalmist, like the people of Israel, to catalog it and remember it, so that in the circumstances that are hard, when you feel the temptation to be discouraged, to get cynical, to complain, you can catch yourself and open up. That's one of my favorite things in the world. I got these journals that I look up, and when I'm, this is me, right? My life right now, I'm sharing with you. Be able to, oh my gosh, no, look what God did. No, remember how God delivered. Remember how God was faithful. Remember how God was so powerful. Remember how God was so real. And instead it's like, oh, thanks. Now what, here's the transition. The goodness of God in the past gives us confidence for his goodness in the future. That's where the power comes. That's why the remembering is so key. Because the goodness of God in the past is meant to be the power that gives us confidence for the goodness of God in the future. And enables us to therefore be a people of thanksgiving in all circumstances. Watch how this happens real quick and we'll close up. In Psalm 9, verses 1 to 2 to 9 to 10. Psalmist says, I will give thanks. There it is. There's some more of that, just giving thanks. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wondrous deeds. So there it is, remembering the past. God's done all these awesome deeds, actions. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold, here we go, in times of trouble. Those who know you or know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. It goes from, I give thanks for what you've done, to I trust you for times of trouble. It goes from the past to the future. Because of what you've done in the past, I give thanks, and therefore I trust, I entrust myself, my life, into your hands for my future. And therefore, I can give thanks. Does that make sense? Seeing it? One more. Psalm 52, 8 and 9, the psalmist says, I'm like a green olive tree, just meaning fruitful and vibrant and living and lush. I have, my life is full of vitality. In the house of God, I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you, here we go, I will thank you forever in any circumstance because you have done it. Watch there, the past tense. Because of what you have done, I will wait for your name, for it is good. Your name and you are like synonymous. I will wait for you, God. You are good. Now, watch what's happening. He says, I will thank you forever. Because of what you have done, I will wait. So again, he's forward looking. He's looking into his own future and saying, you know what I can do right now? I can give you thanks and I can wait. How many of you ever feel like you need to wait on God? It's not happening today, God. What's the matter? Waiting on God is one of the most regular themes throughout the whole scriptures. We all have to wait on God. And we can choose to be cynical, to complain, to grumble. Or we can say, I will wait on you and I trust you. I entrust, I can wait. While I wait, I can be full of thanks. I cannot give in to the doubts, to the lies of the enemy and have that sour fruit in my life of being that complainer and the grumbler. I can wait on you and still give thanks. Why? How can I do that? Because of what you have done, it says. Because you have done it. If you've done it before, you can do it again. If God's done it before, he will do it again. And that's what life is supposed to get more and more full of peace as you grow in maturity in your walk with God because you've experienced more of him and you've seen him come through more times, which is meant to give you more confidence that he will come through next time. So as you grow, God wants you to be able to increasingly be full of peace, be full of joy, be full of thanksgiving. To be a weird person that can actually be thankful when the whole world around you is grumbling and complaining, and you can be thankful. How? Because as your life has progressed, there's a track record, a history behind you that's getting built up of he came through there, he came through there. Oh, man, that was a good one there. Wow, he delivered there. I was in trouble there, and he came through. And as that builds up, you get built up with strength. And confidence in what's coming ahead doesn't matter because I know who's been behind me. I know who will be ahead of me. And so I can give thanks, whatever the circumstance. Not for it. I can give thanks that, whoa, I know God's going to come through right now. I know God's with me. I know God's taking care of me. And so I can give thanks. I can have an attitude of thanksgiving at all times because I know whose I am. I know who I belong to. I know the character of my Abba Father. I know his heart towards me. I know his past towards me. Therefore, I know his future towards me. And I can give thanks. I think this is one of the secrets of Jesus. There's this cool little passage in John chapter 6. It's actually in all four of the Gospels. A very famous story where Jesus feeds 5,000. Think about the situation, though. Think about, it's not just storybook stuff. This is real life. Think about the emotions that would have been on Jesus, on his disciples, on his people. Jesus is preaching a big sermon. He's out in a remote place, and there's thousands of people there. And they get really hungry. And there's not, you know, there's not a local Stater Brothers to feed them all. There's not the drive-through. No Mickey D's in that time, praise the Lord. Back in the good days. So people are hungry. They've been with Jesus a while. They start to complain. They start to get angry. You know how people are when they're hungry, right? There's a mob. I mean, I saw what happened when I didn't have coffee 2 weeks ago. I was like, I thought we were going to burn the place down. I thought I was going to be strung up on my toes. People get hungry. People get frustrated. There's not food. The belly talks loud. And so the disciples come to Jesus, and they're like, oh, everybody's hungry, Jesus. What should we do? Send them away. I don't want to deal with them, they say. And Jesus says something crazy. He says, you feed them. And the disciples just, like, totally missed the boat. Like, you know, they had just, I don't know what the miracle, they just cast out some demons or something. And Jesus gives them another opportunity, and they're, oh, we can't do this. But anyways, that's a side story. They got fearful. They got complaining. They got grumbling. They let it get them. But Jesus does something different. Watch what Jesus does. It says in John chapter 6, 11 and 12. So they go, Jesus says, hey, find out what we got. See if we got anything. It comes back, I think it's the five loaves and two fishes. And it says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given, what do you have? Thanks. He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftovers, that nothing may be lost. So, what did Jesus do? What's the circumstance? The circumstance is you got thousands of frustrated, hungry, complaining people with his disciples that kind of just checked out and are on another planet, not helping either, just fearful, send them away, we can't do this stuff. And so what's Jesus? Remember, he's a man. What's his temptation? His temptation is to give in to, oh, you disciples, what's your problem? Oh, people, why didn't you pack lunch for yourself? You guys are ridiculous. You knew I was going to talk a long time. I mean, you would bring a meal. Oh, he had the real temptations. I mean, let alone the burden of feeding all these people. What are you going to do? And all it says is he gave thanks. What I love about it, it doesn't even say he asked. It doesn't even say he asked for bread. He just gave thanks to God. Now, I got to be a little careful there because I'm reading into the text a little bit. But what I think he gave thanks for is thank you, God, that you are going to provide right now. Why else would he give thanks? He didn't even say, oh, God, help me. Oh, these people are going to kill me. They're so hungry. I need a miracle right now. Open his eyes. Oh, whew, God came through. Saved my neck on that one. All it says is he got what he had, and he gave thanks in all things. And boom. Now, how could he give thanks in all things? He knew the past. He knew God's faithfulness. He knew who he was in God's eyes. That declaration at his baptism, you are my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to give you my whole kingdom. And the same identity in Christ is yours. Beloved child of God with whom he is well pleased. And he wants to give you the whole kingdom. Jesus is walking in that Abba Father reality. That's how he taught us to pray. Abba Father, like a little kid would say to daddy. Daddy, what is a daddy? One who takes care of us, what we're meant to be, is one who takes care of us, who sees us as ones in need and bends down with compassion and tenderness to provide, support, protect, care for. Jesus sees himself in that way on earth with the Father. He says, you know what? I got my Abba. Pfft. You got 5,000 hungry people. Pfft. I got Abba. This is nothing to me. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Boom. And I love this example. And I'm trying to start to live in this. And I'm not saying prayers of when you ask God for things are bad. Jesus demonstrates that too. He says, give us this daily bread. Take care of us. That's good. That's healthy. But there's another aspect of trusting in who God is where we can give God. That wasn't even, come on. Wow. Where we can give God thanks in advance as a prayer because we know who God is for us. We know his character. We know what he loves to do. So we don't even need to ask. We just thank him. I'm going to give you an example. God, thank you that you are going to be here this morning in power. God, thank you that you're going to do healing work in our hearts this morning. God, thank you that you're going to be with me in my day. Thank you that you're going to be working on my heart. Thank you, you're going to be transforming me today. Those are rock solid, 100% in confidence, in faith. They're prayers of thanksgiving, but are declarations. I know, God, you're going to do this. Why? Not because I'm being presumptuous, not because I'm being arrogant, because I know who you are and what you've promised to me as your child. And God wants us to live in all circumstances to be able to live in thanks. So whatever the circumstance is, whether it's 5,000 people that are hungry, whatever it may be, where we trust his goodness in the past, we trust his character towards us, that gives us confidence to be able to move towards the future, giving thanks because we know who's on our side. And so I can start my day not, oh God, please help me today. I'm in such trouble. I'm in such hurting. Now, if you're there, do it. That's fine. That's an authentic place to be. But God also wants to grow as he grows, as he comes through and his track record increases. He wants you to be able to live more in a confidence and therefore a thanksgiving to where it's, God, you know my circumstances. You know this is some hard stuff. Thank you that you're my redeemer. Thank you that you're my healer. Thank you that you're my savior. Thank you that you transform me. And you begin to worship God and honor God on a whole nother level that just totally gives him the glory for who he is. Talk about like a punch to the face, you know, punch to the face of the devil, where you can be in hard circumstances where all the temptations are coming your way and you're not even anymore saying, oh God, please help. You're like, thank you, God, that you are going to help, because I know who you are. I know what you've done. You're going to do it again. And as we grow in this, what this does is produces a fruit that I hope you're feeling. The last few minutes, I haven't been talking about complaining and grumbling anymore because it's just gone. As you grow in this confidence in what God's done and who he is for you and therefore your future, I just don't need to complain anymore. I don't want to complain. I don't want to grumble. That's my old self. That's my old ways. That's my old man of not trusting God, of not believing God has good things, of not hoping in God, of not knowing that God loves to come through and his character towards me and his heart towards me is so good and so faithful. His steadfast love endures forever. When I'm complaining and grumbling, I'm not there. I'm focused on my power and I'm frustrated that, man, this situation is out of my control. And I'm doing it on my own strength and my own timing for my own agenda, and it's not working the way I like it. So I'm going to complain. And God said, I just have so much better fruit for you, my children. I have another way that is better. It's the way of the heaven, the way of the kingdom of heaven. It's the good fruit of peace and joy and love and thanksgiving in all circumstances. Just trust that you're in my arms and I got you and I'm good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be this people, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us be this people. I pray that you would, you know what? I'm going to thank you, God, that you are taking us on the journey to being this people. I thank you that you will continue to take us on this journey of being a people that is more and more full of thanksgiving. I thank you, God, that your mighty power is and will be at work in us to give our lives such testimonies that we can then combine with the Bible, that we know who you are, we know what you've done, and we grow in confidence that you're going to do it again. I thank you in advance, God, that this is your will for your children. And we respond by saying, come, Lord Jesus, we invite you to teach us to be this children. Teach us to be these kind of people. And I would, one of the things we like to do here at Elevation is make sure it gets real, make sure it gets practical, make sure you're having a living relationship with God. So I want to just take a minute here of quiet. Jesse can play some background music here. I want you to ask God to show you what's an area of your life that you're complaining and grumbling. And ask him, after he shows you that, ask him to help you to trust him for the future of that. Even bring to mind, God, things that you've done in my past before where you've already helped me. You've already saved me. You've already healed me. And help me translate that into a trust for your future goodness. Let's just take a minute and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and show us specific ways in our life that he wants us to, he invites us to get rid of that grumbling and complaining spirit and cynical spirit. I'm just going to ask you guys to listen. See what he puts on your hearts. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to speak to our hearts right now and show us some things that you want to set us free from. Not you want to condemn, not you want to tell us, oh, we're doing this so bad, but you want to set us free from cynicism and complaining and grumbling. So we invite you to search our hearts and show us your truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that whatever you reveal, it's only because you want to heal. I pray, Lord, that as well, you would just be bringing to mind ways in which you have redeemed us and healed us, been faithful and good to us in the past. Let's just take another 30 seconds and just think. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, bring to mind ways in which you have just been so good, so faithful, loving, forgiving, healing, redeeming. Just bring to mind to us individually some of those ways. And then lastly, just in your heart, if you're ready and able, just say, Lord, because of what you've done in the past, I thank you for what you will do in my future in this situation. Because of what you've done in the past, I thank you for what you will do in the future in this situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You invite us to be a people. That just sounds so good, Lord. They just live with thanks in all circumstances. We thank you, Lord, that that is our destiny and you're taking us there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at We @WeAreElevation, and on Facebook, facebook.com/WeAreElevation.